Okay. I was born July 17, 1929, Hancock County, Tennessee.
Hold on there just a moment. I am Douglas Rademacher. I'm here with the Lansing Fisher Body Historical Team, and we are going to interview Amer Brooks today. Okay. It is October 24th. It's 12 noon, and we are at the Union Hall, 602. Good afternoon to you. Would you please state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address for the record?
My name is B-R-O-O-K-S, Amer Brooks.
And where do you reside?
Here in Lansing, 901 Larner Street, here in Lansing.
Are you married?
Yes.
Do you have any children?
Yeah, I have a son and a daughter. Son's name is Daniel. And my daughter's name is Sue. She lives in Jeff City, Missouri.
Okay. And what is your national origin?
What do you mean, religion or what?
No, you're... Are you...
Ethnicity.
What is your ethnicity? Where did your parents come from and your grandparents?
They in Tennessee.
Okay. And what is your education background?
Eighth grade, and I didn't go to college or high school.
Okay. And did you have any military service?
No.
Okay. What I want to know next is a little bit about the history at Fisher Body. Would you please tell me your higher-end date?
May the 26th, 53.
1953. And do you remember which department you hired into?
I hired in the Fisher Body. On the cab line.
On the
you know what the cab line is?
Oh, the what line?
Cab line.
The cab line. No, I'm not familiar with that.
We build convertibles.
Okay.
We have a Chevy, Pontiac, and those.
And it was called the cab line. They were convertibles.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you remember which shift you hired into?
I hired in the day shift. We had three shifts in. We worked 3 days, weeks, and 3 days, nights that time.
Would you think back, and do you remember walking into Fisher Body for the first time?
Yeah.
Could you share that with us?
Well, at that time, I was down in Indiana working on a farm. My brother got a job here, and they wanted to know if they could find anybody work, you know. He come down and got me. And I walked in the Fisher Body and had my papers already filled out. And they gave me a 5-minute physical. And I bent over and touched my toes and checked to see if I had hernias. And they wanted me to go to work that day, and I said, no, I'm going to wait till tomorrow and go to work. And hired in as a spot welder. They said, we need somebody as a trucking job. That's not driving a big truck or nothing like that. It was trucking quarter panels over to the assembly line where they put them in a buck. They had bucks in. And they put them in there, and they put them together, and then they raise them up. And they had the same floor trucks just about it they've had all these years. They've never changed them that much. They would clamp them in, and then they would put the bars across them and go down there and put the roof on.
But they did this all manually?
All manually.
So you're calling that a buck.
Can you
describe what that looks like? What's a buck look like?
It was just a rack where they put the parts in, and then they didn't have hoists in. They had just a few bouncers, not very many, you know, a bouncer to hold a spot welder guns up. Most everything was done by arc welder and heliarc, the braze welders, and they call them heliarcs. And big spot welding guns. They spot welded the floor pans together. They had a big pipe about that big. It had this much foam rubber on it. They had one guy on one side of the line, and another They had three of those. When he come down, he put the pipe over to him, and he put it on his shoulder. He had guns about that long. He weighed over 200 pounds. And he welded the floor pan together.
So the pipe was a good inch round. Was that solid cast?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a
solid bar.
It was a pipe. It was heavy, okay. Something like that, you know, about 2 inch. Heavy enough to hold 200 pounds up. And he welded a floor pan together. And wire brackets, they had a dummy welder. He had put this thing on the floor pan and it spot welded like that. And floor brackets was all welded arc welders, seat brackets.
Now you said that welder gun was what?
It had long enough to reach all the way across the floor pan.
Close 3 foot long then.
Yeah.
Okay. That was, now you said you told them you couldn't work that one day, you came in the next day, they took you down to the body shop then.
Yeah, that's where I signed in for spot welding.
So how long did you do the spot welding job?
Well, the first 8 or 9 days I did a trucking job, trucked the wheelhouses over to the assembly lines where they put them in the book.
Now you say trucking, was that a manual push truck?
Yeah, it was a rack, a hold about 10 or 12 wheelhouses.
Okay. So you fed the line with these all day long. That was not a bad job compared to the guys grabbing them and welding them?
A hard job. I had 10 people I broke in. I only finally got one guy, a great big guy, a Polish guy. He took a job over and I went and spot welding then.
Oh, so the welding was the better job?
Yeah.
So you did that for... You said about 9 days. Where'd you go after that?
Well, I went on the spot welding job where I heard in.
Okay.
Building wheelhouses.
And how long did you do that?
Oh, I done it for years.
You kind of took ownership of it? Is that what you mean? That became your job?
Well, they had transferred me around where they needed. Then they put me on bringing people in. I could learn a job in 20 minutes, so they get me breaking people in, getting new employees. And when I hired in there, they had a little over 5,000 people. And you know what we've had the last few years?
Well, we're definitely at half of that by now. When you were in the body shop, did you ever go to any other department?
I went on the driving fork truck for a little while, and I was on supervision for about a year. I don't remember the dates on that.
How many years did you work at Fisher Body?
Like a little bit, working 40 years.
40 years. Taking a moment about all the different jobs you did, what was the best job you ever had at Fisher Body?
Well, in 94, October the 1st, 94, I got in an accident. I got my leg caught in a shuttle and almost lost my leg. After that, I didn't do any hard work. I just mostly stayed in office and actually foreman. Have to break in supervision.
Which department was that shuttle in?
Hey, body shop.
That sounds tragic. I'm glad to see that you're still all in one piece.
Yeah, I almost lost my leg, but I survived.
You were here a lot of years. Were you ever laid off?
I was on strike one time. I don't remember what year. We was on strike for about 5 or 6 weeks. And I was laid off one time. Not too long after I started work here, they had a Willow Run. They had where they build the transmissions. Blades burned down, and that was for about 4 weeks.
Without those parts, we couldn't run at Fisher.
Yeah.
You say you do you know what the cause of the strike was?
It was just getting a new contract.
Okay. And did you share how long, you said the one time you were laid off, how many weeks?
About 4 weeks I drew unemployment.
Was there strike pay at that time?
No. He didn't have strike pay, all he had just a little unemployment.
Okay. How did you feel about going out on strike?
Well, it didn't bother me that much. That's something we need, you know. We needed to go on strike to get our contract, you know. Every once in a while, you got to go on strike to get something other, you know.
So you supported the union in,
oh, yeah,
in their decision?
I've always supported the union.
Doreen Howard?
Going back to the body shop area, did you retire from the body shop area?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you describe some of the changes that took place in the body shop over your time frame that you were there? Describe what it looked like and some of your surroundings that
every two or three years they would change. So finally, after they got away from the book system, they went to a gate system. I don't know, you might remember the gate system. We had that for a lot of years.
And what's the difference?
The gates go around, and then they put parts in there and weld them in the gate. And then jobs got easier, I guess, because they got more modern equipment. They got bouncers. When I first went in there, they didn't have bouncers for all the guns, and just a few of the spot welding guns, you had to pick them up and do the welding. All the repair shops and everything, they had to pick them up off the floor.
Can you describe what is a bouncer? Is that something that hooks onto the welder and onto like another
bouncer
apparatus that helps pull the welder up?
Pulls a spot welder up.
Okay. So it makes it easier for the person using it to move it? Is that what it's for? Okay.
They had their, when I first went in there, all the roof welders, they arc, brazed them, you know. You want brazed with acetylene and then they grind that down a little bit and went into solder booths. They would solder those roof seams and then it went into a grinding booth where the guys had to wear hoods on a kind of lead poisoning. And then it'd go on down the line to wet sand, go through that, and they'd sand it down, body down, and then it went through a bonderizer. And then it went upstairs, and they did their thing upstairs.
Doing their thing, you mean painting?
Painting, and trim work, seats. And
so you referred to it as solder, but that solder was actually lead.
Lead, yeah.
So, did you ever have to have yourself tested for lead?
No, because I didn't work in that area. That was after they got through the welding area, they went into it.
And
they had the guys that, after the solder people didn't have to take a lead test, but after they went through there, they went into these grinding booths where they ground the solder down. And they had to wear hoods.
Doreen?
Were you given any type of protective equipment at all in the jobs that you did?
Oh, yeah, I had to wear hoods.
You had to wear hoods?
Then they got into MIG welding. MIG welding come along, and that took away from all the brazing, most all the brazing and arc welding and all the stuff that was eliminated then.
Now, what's the difference between the one type of
MIG welder's just a welder that has small wire runs through it, and you just hold the MIG welder up there and weld it instead of brazing and arc welding.
Okay. Has any other members of your family ever worked at Fisher Body?
Yeah, one of my brothers worked there for about 2 years, and then he quit. I brought six other people up from Tennessee here, and they only worked a few months. It was too hard for them.
Did they go back to Tennessee,
yeah,
or did they stay?
Tennessee.
Did they?
when I first hired in there, they was hiring 50 people a day, and about half of them or more of them would quit. People just weren't used to hard work.
Linda Johnson.
Emer, how much money did you hire in at? Was it a good wage compared to where you were from?
$1.97.
Was that considered good money back then?
I think back then it was pretty good money. We were working 10 hours a day and working Saturdays, and we did get double time, time and a half.
What wage were you making when you left Tennessee? What made you leave Tennessee or come to Fisher Body?
Well, I'd worked on a farm, $1 a day. That was big money when I was just a young teenager. And I worked, and after that I went into lumberjack, working sawmills and working timbers. And after that I come to Indiana, worked a couple of years on a farm down there. And then found out about Fisher Body, and that's where I spent the rest of my life.
Can you tell me, when you were in Indiana and heard about the hiring in Lansing at Fisher Body, how did you get up here?
My brother works here before I did, and he came down and picked me up, brought me up here.
What kind of car was that back then? Did you have a truck or a car, your brother?
First car I ever had was a 34 Ford. A John Dillinger truck, a car, door opened in front.
You said you spent a little time on supervision. Can you share that experience?
I didn't like it. They sent me to after I had my accident, they sent me to school and gave me a lot of training, but it didn't soak in much. I didn't care about it. And we worked, done pretty good the first year, and then a model change come up, and all the supervisors go around, set the jobs up, how many people they needed, you know. And I had my department all set up, and they said, well, you got 5 people too many. I said, well, you take your job and shove it. I don't want no more part of it. I said, if I've worked with these people all these years, I'm not going to work them to death.
Amer, would you share with us, when you hired in, were there many women in the plant, and were there any minorities?
When I hired in there, there was probably only a dozen women in the whole shop. In a body shop, there wasn't any. We had our own lockers out there, and we'd change her clothes right out there, put her coveralls on, and take her street clothes off. But after we got women, we had to go to the locker room. And
were there many minorities?
Well, yes, we had a lot of African-American people and a few Spanish people, not too many.
Doreen Howard?
What was the perception of the women and when they came in? How did the men that were there, once the women started coming into the workforce, how did they react to them?
Well, they had to wear coveralls, if that's what you're talking about, and hoods, if they welded, it's the same as the men.
Mm-hmm. Were they treated any differently, or were they treated the same?
Well, they was treated the same. I didn't know there wasn't any discrimination in the shops, I know that. That's something the union would allow.
They were working just as hard as
the men. Yeah, they had to work just as hard as the men.
What were your plans before you hired into Fisher Body?
Well, I was always a mechanic, and I was going to work a few years there, and I was going to go back home and start a little garage for my home place down in Tennessee. We had 50 acres down there of land, and I was going to have a garage and a little store or something other. And I got married, and so that was it. I stayed in Michigan.
So your wife is from Michigan?
Well, my first wife was. And I was first wife. After 11 years, we divorced, and I remarried, and The other wife, she was from Arkansas, but first wife, she stayed like to go in a bar every night, and I couldn't do that. So we divorced.
And you're still married today?
Yes, sir. Good woman.
You hired in to the body shop. You remember your first supervisor, and how did he treat you?
Well, I never had any problems with supervisors. Her superintendent every once in a while would come around and try to get us to... When we worked offline, we had the production to build. So many each hour and so many per day, you know. And her superintendent every once in a while would come around and say, well, I need you to build few extra this week. He'd tell me, let's see how many. And no, it was no, no. After we did that for a week, so then and we had to do it all the time then.
Kind of played you once, but not twice, right?
No, that's right.
Have you, over that many years, you've seen different supervisors. Has the supervisor's technique changed in how they work people or treat people?
Well, they had to treat them pretty right, and they'd get rolled up. They had to be pretty nice to them. All the years I've been there, I never had a reprimand. I had sick days, but the whole 40 years there, I think I was 4 days I was late.
I'm curious about the environmental conditions. When you hired in the body shop, wasn't it...
It was always the environment. Smoke, and we didn't have air conditioning. I don't know how we had fans that blowing the smoke around. And summertime, it was so hot.
Every day, even if it wasn't hot outside, it was oven-like inside?
Inside, too.
Now, that smoke, could you see very far all those welders
see,
going
but,
on?
You know, smoke from the welders and stuff like that, you know. You get quite a bit of smoke, and it's just blowing around in there. They had vents, but it wasn't taking them all out.
So before you retired, did you notice a change in the conditions in which you were able to work?
Well, it never changed much when I left in there in 92. It is still a lot of pollution in there. A lot of people that worked in there. A lot of my friends died right away after they retired. A lot of them died with lung cancer and stuff like that. It wasn't a healthy environment in there. But it was a good paying job.
Okay.
I was making about $18 an hour when I retired. That's a big jump from $1.97.
From $1 a day on the farm to $2 an hour on the line. To about $20 when you left, huh? Doreen Howard.
I want you to kind of backtrack a little bit and talk about the accident that you had. And can you tell me a little bit of what happened there?
Well, we'd had a model change, mm-hmm. and the contractor's supposed to put up little, at all stations, they're supposed to have a gate here, like, so high, so anybody couldn't get in there. Mm-hmm. And that morning I went and got a new shop coat. And it's a sealer station where the guy put steel around the quarter pounds and done the sealing. And I repaired the sealer guns. That was my job, keeping them running. And he blew the whistle. We had whistles. He blew the whistle. And I come up and he said, my sealer gun is not putting out hardly any sealer at all. He put it across the line. I cleaned the sealer out, handed it back to him, and that shuttle come back and caught my shop coat. And there's a little post about that high, and it come down. It took about that much flash off from up to my hip down to my knee.
Ooh. Wow. Now, after that happened, did they institute any type of measures from the factory so that that wouldn't happen again?
Oh, they finally got a ambulance come in and took me to St. Lawrence, and they took the skin and stuff off, and they done skin grafting. Mm-hmm. I was off 11 weeks. Dr. Black, he's finding, I don't know if he's still around or not, he was a skin specialist, and he took a skin off my hip over here and done skin graft.
But when you returned back to work, was there any safety precautions that were put in place because of that?
They shut the plant down for that day. First time we'd ever been shut down for all day. They got the contractors back in there and they did their safety work, what they supposed to have done before. But Fisher Body kind of gave me a shaft. They tried to say that I was trying to cross the line. Anybody cross that line, that thing going back and forth like that, this shuttle would pick up and go to one station, and then they'd pick up the parts there and they'd transfer it to the other station. And anybody with the right mind would try to cross that thing and it running. But my shot caught in, the coat caught in, the thing sticks up like that and pull my leg right behind it. It happened just like that.
And you say Fisher Body blamed you rather than
the
contractor
me.
That they had to call back in to fix the... to make it a safe environment.
That's the first time they'd ever been shut down all day for...
Well, we're sorry it was at your expense, sir.
I'm glad to see that they... You know, it's sad to see that something happened to you, but it's a good thing that the company recognized that there was a problem there and maybe changed it for the future.
Cheryl McQuaid.
Amer, did you ever see anybody else get hurt in the body shop?
Oh, just minor. One time I got a big spark right out of my glasses and burned my eye a little bit. And I've seen people get a lot of bruises. I've seen the people that had these shears to cut their tabs off the roof. One time I seen a guy. He had to climb up in a trunk of the car and cut those off, and that thing caught and come back and hit him in the head.
Stitches, right?
But they had mostly pretty safety stuff, you know.
Do you remember time clocks?
Oh, yeah. We had our little badges still, you know, when we first went in there, little... silver badges. We had those for years, and then we got rid of those, and we got the time clocks. We always had time clocks, but it got to we didn't have time clocks and then have badges or nothing. We just had cards we go out and punch in and out.
So the...
Dorian Howard?
The only way you could get in and out of the plant was...
Show them your badge.
And your badge had like a number on it that represented you?
Yeah, they had numbers on them.
How did they know that you were the person?
Well, they didn't check that they much. Didn't care. Anybody had the Fisher Body badge, you know.
And over time, you said that changed from that system to a punch card system?
We always had a time clock we punched out.
They'd have something set up on the wall or something?
It was right out to the gate when we go out.
And you pull your card out and put it in a slot and punch
pull it out here and punch it and put it in a rack.
And you were here until the change that they made with the electronic
system? Oh, yeah, that's when they put the Robux in. They had a Robux in when I got my leg injured. They had had them in for a couple of years. They first put them in, they had so much problems, those Robux, they didn't have anybody know how to fix them when they tore up. Those things were dangerous, Robux.
Yeah, the robots were, they had They came from Japan or from Germany, and they didn't know how to work them.
They had them programmed, and you better stay out of their way when they was making their swings, coming in well in the parts.
What'd you do for lunch?
What I had to lunch, when I was on supervision, I had to go up and sit with the supervisor, and I hated that. They had their special room for the supervisor. And any other time, I'd take a brown bag and had my coffee, and I'd get a piece of cardboard, and I'd eat and lay down and sleep during lunch. Stay with the boys, the girl.
Do you remember your breaks?
Oh, yeah.
And what did they have here for a while that made taking
a
break?
They had a coffee wagon they call come around twice a day for the breaks. And they had the cafeteria that belonged to the cafeteria. They had milk and they had their coffee and all kinds of spices, cupcakes and sweet rolls and all kinds of stuff like that, juices.
Would you share, if you can, what is your best memory of Fisher Body?
Well, I don't know. I enjoyed Fisher Body the whole time I was there. When I retired, I really didn't want to retire, but my wife wanted me to retire. And I don't know. I enjoyed it the whole time I was there. Because everybody treated me pretty nice. I was nice to everybody, and even the supervisors, they treated me nice. But most of them didn't know much. They didn't know how to run a place. Last few years there, I broke supervisors in. And they didn't know how to call millwrights and pipe fitters and stuff like that. So we had millwrights and pipe fitters and the people to come out and repair stuff, you know, and need to repair it. I had to do all that.
So you were definitely needed to keep them looking good, right?
Yeah.
You knew who all the contacts were?
I get a supervisor broke in, and then they'd bring a new supervisor in for me to break in. Well, that was the last few years I was there. I mostly sat in the office, and they didn't make me do any work after I had my life after 84 to 92.
Doreen Howard?
Was there any initiations or anything when you first came in that anyone did to you? Or can you recall any pranks that were pulled on you you pulled on other people?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me?
We pulled pranks on people all the time. Back when I first started there, they had that hilly arc. These guys had to weld these seams in these quarters. And he sat on a pail. We take those tissues and go to the water fountain. When he got up to put another quarter panel in there, we'd sit it on a quarter panel, he'd sit down on it.
Sit down on the wet towel and get all wet?
Stick to him.
And we've done a lot of pranks, you know. Done some danger pranks. We had one guy, he's always hammering. Every time he picked up a part, he'd hammer on it. And I'd take a cigarette butt and had his coveralls rolled up about 4 or 5 times, put that cigarette butt to cover the coveralls. That wasn't very nice, but
pretty soon he found out that was in there, didn't he?
Start smoking at all. All we did are little mean tricks.
Did anyone ever do one to you?
Yeah, one time I was in a 55 or 56 of Chevy's. Those wheelhouses, we had a gun about that long, and we had to take a pot welder and go back in there, and had a seam on the inside and weld that. Somebody filled a milk carton up with acetylene. I was welding and it blew right out of my ear.
That just Scary or was it dangerous?
That was dangerous. I almost lost my ear.
You were burned?
No, it just blood ran out of my ears. It damaged my ear.
Oh, boy.
And that person didn't ever admit to that one, did they?
No, his supervisor took everybody at the shop, and he offered a reward for anybody to tell who done it. He was going to can them big time.
And I think you
just... They would put... those did guys that did brace and stuff, they would put acetylene in the rocker panels and somebody start welding. And my superintendent, that was before he went on superintendent, he was welding on a line and it blew up, almost blew his leg off the rocker panel. He done a lot of dangerous things around there.
All for a joke.
Just a joke. Because I was guilty for the cigarette thing.
Did you view your coworkers as brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Can you explain that family atmosphere?
Well, we was all pretty close. But I didn't have it that many women working in my department. Even when I retired out of there, I think we had, out of 25 or 30, we had 5 or 6 women. They had more women working upstairs. She was trimming places like that, and they did downstairs.
Did you ever walk through the whole plant, or did you just show up at body and go out?
I didn't dare to go too many places. I knew my way around, you know, but I just didn't have time to run through the whole plant. Every so often we'd get a bad vendor, get a lot of bad parts, and we'd go to Grand Blanc and places where they made those parts, and we'd take those misstamped parts and show it to them, and they'd deny it was theirs, and we'd say, well, it's got your brand right on it. It's got to be yours.
Just don't charge it back to us. I can understand that. Amer, did you ever participate in any of the small groups of people in the plant that some of them played music at lunchtime, some of them had Bible studies? Did you ever?
I didn't complete any of that.
Didn't get involved in anything like that?
A lot of our people in our department, I wasn't involved in reading when I was working or anything like that. We had people that bring their Bible out and they would read, and they was sometime in the midst of the part of their work, you know, and let it go down the line, and finally they got into trouble like that. They read newspapers, they read their newspapers when I was working. Finally they had made them to stop it. In the bathrooms they had a lot of drawing dirty pictures. A lot of people would draw them. And
yeah, that
it wasn't like Home Sweet Home, but, you know, it was good money.
Yeah, oh yeah. Did you smoke?
I smoked. I quit about 27, 28 years ago. I quit drinking at the same time. I used to be a pretty heavy drinker, weekend drinker.
So you'd already quit before they banned smoking in the plant? Did you know they banned smoking?
They were still smoking in there when I quit in 92. Okay.
Did you ever have a friend in skilled trades that made something for you for inside the plant?
No, I guess I never had anybody make anything for me.
No locker or something special for you?
I didn't want to try to bring something out of the shop and get fired for it.
Okay. Did you attend your union meetings?
Yep.
How often?
Well, quite often. I wasn't here every time they had a union meeting, but I was really stayed with the union pretty good. I knew how bad we need the union.
Did you ever run for a union office?
No.
Doreen Howard?
When you hired in, the union was already in place at that time?
Yeah, the union was in place, but it wasn't too strong. When I hired in there, they was just starting to credit unions, too. Just starting to credit unions. We had people in there that was talking to people and starting to credit unions. It wasn't very strong. They just had a little building somewhere, sort of a credit union.
So on your first day you hired in, were you approached by the union?
No.
Is it?
We knew who our committee man was. And I never, hardly ever called. All I used that there, I probably only had to call a committee man two or three times.
Doreen Howard.
When you hired in, did you have to wait your 90 days at, when you hired in order to be represented by the union? Or was that something that came later
on? I think it was 30 days.
It was a 30 day?
I think it was 30 days.
And when you hired in, did you receive the same amount of pay as everyone else, or was it on a graduated pay scale? When
it was according to what your job was. Online job paid 10 cents or more, and offline work did.
Amer, did you develop any friendships that have carried on outside of the Fisher Body Plant into your life?
No, not. I had a lot of friends that worked there, and but after we left the plant, it was just, you know, I was a good friend to everybody that was in there, you know. I didn't have any trouble with anybody. But it's mostly my family. And then after I married my second wife, she was real religious. And after 25 years or so, after I quit drinking and smoking, I started going to church with my wife.
Okay. What is your most appreciated bargain benefit that you
health have? Insurance.
Have you used the tuition assistance ever to go back to school or to do anything?
No.
Doreen Helen.
You say the health insurance was one of the better benefits. I'm assuming that you use that benefit quite a bit?
Yeah, every once in a while I'd have a little trouble with my insurance and I'd come over here and get the problem settled. Mm-hmm.
Do you participate in the elections of the local union? Do you still vote today, and did you back then?
Yeah. I didn't always vote the way they wanted me to. But we got a big election coming up now, mayor. We need a new mayor. I think if we'd had a mayor was coming up, I think we might have kept this plan. I don't know.
Linda Johnson.
Amer, you said you had skills for a mechanic shop. Did you ever use those skills outside the plant?
No. I didn't do it outside the plant. I helped my neighbors do things, and I did work on my house and stuff like that. And that's about the only skills I ever had. I had the opportunity when I was working there to go on skilled trade, mail rights, and stuff like that. But they worked all weekends, and I didn't want to work weekends, so I didn't take that.
Doreen Howard.
During the time that you worked there, you saw different name changes happen. Can you tell me your reaction to the different name changes
Well, every time they had a model change, they had change in the building. And they lost people. And they got more modern, they lost people. All the automation coming in and started cutting people out. Robots took a really sliced them out.
When the company changed, when you first hired in, it was called Fisher Body at that time?
Yep.
And then it changed to
EOC.
EOC. Did you have any reactions personally?
No, I didn't care what they call it, as long as I still got my benefits and my check.
Now that the facility has closed, what's your reaction to the closing of the plant?
And it kind of broke my heart to see Fisher Body close down. Mm-hmm. That was my home for 40 years, second home.
What do you think about the new plant that's going up, the people from Fisher Body being given another opportunity to build another product?
I'm proud it's still General Motors. I guess it's going to be General Motors, ain't it?
Yeah. Yes, at this time. It's a big investment they put here. If you had
I hate they moved it out of Lansing on account of taxes for Lansing and stuff like that.
Amer, they hired a lot of people in about 1995. They got 10 years in. What would you say to that group of people that's got at least 20 more years to work? You got anything, words of wisdom or something you'd share?
Well, I don't know. I hope the best of luck for them. Hope they can still work for General Motors. Cadillac plant helped their business here in Lansing. They work and still working good. That's good improvement.
Doreen Howard?
Did you ever drive any of the vehicles that you built over the
yeah,
time?
Yeah, I always had General Motors vehicles. Mm-hmm. When I first hired in there, I bought a Ford car. That was because my uncle was a salesman for Ford back in Tennessee, and then that's the time I had General Motors cars and truck.
What was your favorite vehicle that you purchased?
I liked the General Motors vehicles a lot better than I did the Ford.
Any particular model that you liked more than another one?
I had a 88 Olds red convertible. I loved that car. I done a lot of chasing women that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, red convertible.
Amer, you've shared a lot of stories. Have you got anything you'd like to share that we failed to ask you?
Well, I just hope General Motors can keep going and hope we can keep our benefits. I don't know how many we've lost here in this last contract thing. I hope we can keep our older benefits. I hate to have to pay them myself because I'm in that Dallas things right now, and I have to have insurance for that. I got my Medicare and Blue Cross, and so far it's been paying all of it.
How many times a week do you have to do that?
3 times a week, 4 hours a day.
Linda Jack.
Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays.
But you're still grateful for your job.
I'm grateful. I loved it.
Do you attend the picnics? The union
no,
picnics?
No, I didn't. I come to the union hall when they'd have things over here for a few years, and then after I become a Christian, I didn't around people that drink very much. I mean, they were sociable here, but it was my thing to stay away from the people that drink, you know.
Doreen Howard?
Are you involved with the retirees at the shop here?
No.
In the union? No?
We do a lot of work at the shop. I mean, with the church. Mm-hmm. to do maintenance work and stuff at the church. And
okay, Amor. It's been a wonderful opportunity to learn about you, and we appreciate your interview.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amor.
Thank you, Amor.
Okay.
Very nice.